before we start, I'm going to do something that's going to, before I get into the message, because I wanted to share with you the video, but also just share with you what happened this last week. Of course, Thanksgiving was here, and we love it. I love it. I'm so glad. I look forward to it. We gear up for it. We just get pumped up for it. We have to cheer each other on for it here at the Salt Mine because we're a food closet. We love to feed people in this community. It's what we do. It's the heartbeat of who we are and what we do, because we feel like, and this is a, before you, hold on a second, Michael, let me lead into it. He's on it. We were able to distribute and feed just hundreds and hundreds of families this Thanksgiving, and that's just on top of the giving of food that we distribute to families in the need of in this community. But it was such an amazing time. We're so glad it's gone, if I could say that, because it's like, oh yes, finally. You should have seen me on Thanksgiving Day at our house. I was like, this is so nice to just sit and enjoy my family, and loved it. I smoked this beautiful turkey that was so delicious. Oh, there's none left over. We ate it all. That's okay. I'll let you enjoy it. But we smoked. I smoked. Yeah, the kids caught me smoking in the backyard. Yeah, they thought they were all cute and funny. And anyway, I just love what we do at the Salt Mine. We have a vital role in this community in being salt of the world, being salt in this earth, being the light of the world. In other words, what we do in here is great and fantastic and amazing, and it's encouraging, and we love the warmth and fellowship and the encouragement from each other, and we sense the Spirit of God and the peace and the joy and the openness and the willingness, and we love that about what we are here, right? Well, that's kind of weak. Don't we just love coming to this place called, yeah, we love it. But this isn't the crescendo of what Christianity is. This isn't the highlight of our what we do here. It's what we do throughout the week. It's what we, who we are in this community. And this small group of people we call the body of Christ at the Salt Mine has such a vital impact. And you guys are seeing this all over the place. You guys know this. You know, just how many people were able to instill hope and courage and faith and love into their lives, because that's really all that matters, right? That's really all that matters. Yes, the food is our avenue to be able to instill that and impart that into people's lives, but when we're able to do this, we're all doing it together. You're a vital part of it. You are a part of it. You're a big part of it. You as a fellowship here, do you guys believe that? Man, where you guys? You guys are in the. You guys just okay. There you go. You need some more coffee? I know that coffee's really good. It's got caffeine in it. Did somebody slip in the decaf coffee back there? Do you believe that you are a part of what we do here? Okay, good. That's a little better. We'll get there. I wanted to show this video. This video is what we put together for our event on last Friday night, a couple Friday nights ago. So this is really neat. It's exciting. This was an awesome video. Can you play it and dim the lights at the same time and make sure there's sound with it? Ken.
The Salt Mine has been in my life since almost the beginning. My parents, they used to hold a Bible study. It definitely planted seeds of faith in my life. It allowed me later in life to trust this group called the Salt Mine, this church.
Well, during the summer, the fridge was not that full, and I was very emotional about the whole situation. You know, my kids are asking for food, and it's denying your kid food as a parent is hard. So I came to the Salt Mine, and I left with boxes and boxes of food and diapers and milk and eggs and everything like that, and it filled up my fridge, and went home crying because it was such a blessing that my kids could just eat.
What this allows us to do is give them that help that they need to be able to get through something, get through a tough time, get over the edge, so that they could pay their bills, they could put clothes on their kids.
when we can help them with food, keeps people from going without.
I remember attaching a bike trailer to my bicycle, riding over here for the food closet. I was so embarrassed and just ashamed, but I was starving. And I knew I trusted this organization and these people, and I knew they were good people. They cared about me. They were here to help me, and I'd seen so many other homeless people seek this place out for assistance in one way or another, for whether it be food, faith, shelter, a shower.
This is where I feel God. This is where I know it's home. And not only that, I feel blessed that I get to help the community, and they've helped us out numerous times spiritually and with the food closet when we've needed it.
When I was a kid, for us to have food, for us to have Christmas, for us to have anything extra, we depended on an organization like the Salt Mine to be able to even survive. It gave me a hope that caused me to pull myself outside of the circumstances to be able to do something amazing in this world.
If it wasn't for this place, a lot of people would probably be struggling, because there's nowhere else in Lincoln that helps as much as the Salt Mine does. They go above and beyond, and it's a blessing. Because no parent wants their kid to go hungry, and the Salt Mine definitely helps take that off my shoulders.
Thank you, Michael, for letting us all enjoy that. Yes, he's had that bow guarded, that video, for the last couple weeks. We haven't been able to get it off of him, so thank you for sharing it. I'm the one that's in charge. I still can't get it, so we'll find out. We'll somehow make it available. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it will be on our website. That's the next step to what that video is going to be. So that will be something that you could just share. It's from what I've been told. I'm not an IT guy, but I've been told it's too big. It's got too many elements that you can't just like put it on your phone. You know, so you might have to tap into some sort of other resource to share it, to get it. So. That's what I'm told. It's high quality stuff. So to do high quality, you need more than just a text message to do that. So sorry. It's what was the name of the company, Blake? It's with Extreme Productions, who donated his service as the MC for our event. But he uses a film company, and it was the neatest thing when I talked to these guys, as these film guys were doing this video. He said, yeah, my wife and I we took a photography class. We just really liked it. We don't have any sort of college degree and any sort of filmmaking experience. We just hire people that do, and their business has just exploded. They are believers. They came and they saw what we were doing, and they said, wow, this is awesome. They gave it to us at a fraction. I mean, like literally a fraction of what it would normally cost them to make that video. So it was fantastic. So thank you again. And this is, again, I want to just refer to, I'm going to speak on Thanksgiving, because I love the, I don't think it's just this holiday that we take one day of the year to actually like remember to be thankful. I feel like it, not just that I feel, you know, there's four commands in the Bible that God gives us that he repeats over and over and over and over again throughout the entire Bible, not just the Old Testament, not just the New Testament. And there are four of them, and I'm just going to really speak on a couple of them, because they really are, I believe they're the secret code to happiness. There's a secret code. You guys remember back when you get these decoder things in the cereal boxes to get the secret code so you could figure out what the secret message was? There's secret codes. If you're not familiar with it, with what goes on in the city work, it's interesting. There's a secret lock code Anybody here work for the, oh yeah, we do. We have people that work for the city here. I got to be careful. I'm not going to tell you what it is, because if you know what it is, then you can get into every city locked device that they have. But it's a secret code, and it's a secret code that you could get into dumpsters. I'm serious. You think it's, I'm joking. I'm not joking. Once you know the code, you can get into every dumpster in town. I'm not going to tell you what it is, because it's, I'll get in trouble. They'll have to change the entire code. It wouldn't be good. But here I believe is a secret code that God's given us, and it's these four commands. If we do these, if we obey them, if we participate in what God and align ourselves with these commands, it simply is this one. And I'm seeing if I can remember them off the top of my head because I was looking at it, and it's like the first one is to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord is commanded for us to do throughout the entire Bible. Rejoice in the Lord is commanded for us to do throughout the entire Bible. Old Testament, New Testament. There's another one that's really awesome is don't be afraid. Fear not throughout the entire Bible. Fear not, trust in me throughout the entire Bible. Old Testament, New Testament. And this last one is this, is be thankful. Be thankful throughout the entire Bible. The Old Testament and the New Testament. There's a secret code. If we were to obey these four commands, I believe that we have the tool, we have the ability to be actually genuinely happy. God doesn't give us those commands so that we are these robots. He doesn't give us those commands because he wants to take away all the fun stuff for us. He gives us those commands because he knows that inside of us, he designed us, created us, and he knows what actually makes us tick, what actually makes us happy. What actually makes you and I have purpose and joy and fulfillment and happiness? Hello? Are you guys with me? I need you to just join with me for a minute or two, or like 30 or 40. But please join me so that we could get this, because if we get this secret code, I believe that we're going to find a place to be happy. Now, here's what you could do. If you remove one of those, your code's off. You know those that lock that I'm referring to? Did you have a question? Don't be afraid. Fear not. Fear not. That's four. Be thankful is four. At least the ones I listed. Okay, I said praise the Lord, rejoice in the Lord, do not be afraid, be thankful. There's four. Praise the Lord, rejoice in the Lord, do not be afraid, be thankful. Don't got me singing. It's really bad. That was four. I might have combined praise and rejoice. I did. Sorry. Hey, get going. You guys got to keep up. Don't send me backwards. They're like, starts exploding. Stuff starts banging in my head. Ding, ding, ding. Focus. I don't know where I left off now. I have no idea. Be thankful. Oh, the four, that's where I was going to go. The lock, it's got four numbers, four little dials, and if you get the four numbers just right, boop, it's unlocked. You're free. You got to do the four. If you do one of them wrong, if you don't do all of them the right way, it's not going to unlock. It's still bound up. That wasn't in my notes. That was a freebie. That was like totally from the Lord. That was really cool. So let's go through this. 1 Thessalonians 5, chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. Listen to this. And I'm going to just deal with a couple of these because they're of those four codes. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. There's three verses there. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. I don't think we realize how one single act, listen to this, one single act completely obliterates our ability in Christ to be abundantly blessed. Do you guys hear what I just said? I don't think that we realize, we've come to the conclusion quite all the way yet, because we continue to practice this one single act, even as Christians, kind of even sometimes especially as Christians. But this one single act completely obliterates. In other words, it completely paralyzes your ability in Christ to be abundantly blessed. One act. You know what it is? You know what it is? I got a hand up. She's going to take a guess. Okay, that's a good guess, but that's actually a good one, but that's not it. Okay, you're getting closer. You're getting closer. But it's this one thing. What's that? Okay, pride. Yeah, that's good too. Those are all really good. Those are all really good. But I think this is an act that we participate in. Come on, Clarence, give it to me, brother. That's already said, but that was good too. How about this? You guys are going to get it when I say this. Complaining, grumbling, fault finding. They're all the same thing. They're all the same thing. It's the same simple act, but because here's what it does. Here's the essence of complaining and grumbling and fault finding. It's choosing to be more mindful of problems than it is of God. It's a choice. It is a choice that you and I make when we complain, we grumble, and we find fault. It's a choice that I make to be more mindful of the problem than I do of God. And when you do that, when I do that, when everything about me is wrapped up in who I am in Christ, and instead I make a choice to complain about my situation, my circumstances. And here's what we find. I don't know if I should say this. You know that the complainers are easy to identify. The grumblers are easy to identify. Do you know who they are? Can I say it? I only got one yes. I needed more than that.
Yes. Okay.
It's inevitably, almost always, the people that are sitting off to the side watching everybody else do it wrong. Almost typically always is the people that are involved. They're getting their hands dirty. They're the ones that are actually like helping, doing, working. They're too busy fixing, doing, helping, being, to sit back and complain and find fault. Ooh. I asked your permission if I could say it. You gave it to me. So it's usually the people that I see here on a regular basis volunteering, they're not complainers. They're not grumblers. They're not fault finders. They're fixers. They're helpers. They're doers. Those are the ones that are participating in the good work. And if they see something that may be a little bit off, they say, how can I fix it? How can I help it get better? Right? Now, we can take this everywhere in our lives, right? Can you not take this everywhere? Not just in the church, not just in our in this place that we gather together, but what about in our just in the everyday places, the city governments, the state governments, the national governments? If you want to throw it all in there, throw it all in there. Right? Hello? 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 Whew. Yeah, I needed a water break. Let me tell you what it actually does. And then we're going to, I believe it, this is a code to get us, set us free. Boom, unlock the lock of bondage. Oh, wouldn't it be something? This is so cool. Wouldn't it be amazing? Does anybody know what Isaiah 61 says, like verses 1 through 4? We should know, like, kind of the gist of what it says. Because it's that which Jesus, when he took the scroll and he read in front of everybody, and he said, today this has come to fruition. Today, Oh, did you just pop it up? Thank you. All right, good. How about this? Oh, man, I wanted to say, this is so good. I'm just going to read it. I don't have it anywhere in my, so thank you for popping it up. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all those who mourn and to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Wouldn't it be really, really amazing if people actually got touched by God and that actually happened? You know, to where the spirit of heaviness was replaced with a garment of praise? That would be awesome. Where else are we supposed to go to get that, brothers and sisters, friends and family? Where? Walmart? The mall? No, where do we go to get that? To the Lord in the place that we meet to be different, right? Wouldn't that be awesome if that's actually what we, when we came into a body of believers, when we came into this thing that we say we're going to church, we're going to celebrate, we're going to worship, something actually happened and we got touched and we changed. Something actually made a difference in my life, and that which I went in with, I didn't go out with. Right? I don't know why I'm just so excited about this as being so real. I want to just like dig into the depths of that. And then we become these trees of righteousness, these oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And the ruins are rebuilt. Oh, man. Okay, let's just move on. Get that off the screen before I just explode. It's too much. When we grumble and complain, here's what actually happens. We're actually empowering the inferior kingdom of darkness and at the same time undermining your faith in Christ as the hope of glory. Do you guys hear that? When we grumble and complain and find fault, we empower the inferior kingdom of darkness. You guys realize that? I don't think we do, because we kind of keep doing it. How many of you would want to choose to empower the kingdom of darkness in your life? No. No. We do not want to choose to do that, but we choose to find fault, complain, and grumble about our situations and circumstances, environment, our government, our, you know, me. You guys complain and grumble about me. I know you do. I know you do. I didn't hear what was just said back there, but I'll just move on. Well, you know, if you want to take that to a level of personal involvement, if you allow yourselves to get gritty in it, where darkness is reigning in your life, and you may just know it, and you just know it, and you feel like there's just no answer, there's nothing that seems like it's just a heaviness, or as in Isaiah 6:1, just like a ashes. It seems like just this constant cloud of confusion and darkness. If it's so key to just be thankful and rejoice and praise the Lord and don't be afraid, if that's so key into me being set free from that, why don't I just do it and simply just choose to be that, choose to be obey the Lord in that and praise the Lord in everything, rejoice in always in everything. Don't ever stop praying, and instead be thankful in everything, for this is God's will, and then see if something actually gets set free. See if actually something gets unlocked and it can actually convert something great into a spirit of praise and a garment of righteousness. I could grow into a tree of righteousness, of right standing, that I could bring fruit and provide that which is so that people can see that it's like, wow, that's something different is there. Something amazing is happening in that person's life. Instead, we choose to just complain about it. How many of you complain about your spouse? What are you doing? With all that, what did I just say? With all of that just being said, what are you doing when you complain about your spouse? Empowering the kingdom of darkness to bring a spirit of heaviness over your relationship, that which should be a place of joy. And that which should symbolize and be a picture of a relationship between God and man. And yet we... Or your kids, or your parents, your boss, your employees. Wherever you go, what are you going to do about it? No, really, what are we... Oh, everybody just like got like really like, gosh, dang it. Man, everybody just got... Oh, man. Yeah. I saw it. You should have seen everybody's reaction. It was really quite funny. I wish I could have had it on video. I should have like, oh... You guys are like, oh. Okay, let's move on. Because we have an answer to this. We have. It is impossible to complain and then at the same time rejoice, pray, and thank God. You can't do the two at the same time. I mean, you just can't do it. I was going to say try it, but you just wouldn't be able to do it. Jesus said this. He said, "My commands are not burdensome, but they're light. Obey my commands." So these are commands that he's given us. If we know and believe that they are for our abundant life, for that which is good that God has prepared us to live and walk in, right? How many of you know that the milk of God's word, listen to this, brings nourishment for your soul, your spirit? The milk of God's word, it's the good stuff, the encouraging stuff, the stuff that like gives us nourishment. It's called the milk of God's word. The Hebrews refers to it that. But then there's also, how many of you know that the meat of God's word brings the change in your life that God is also desiring to do in you and through you? And that change is a growth. It's a growth. I've been talking about it, stretching. It actually is a growth that brings about strength. Because when God stretches you, he's bringing strength into your life. It's kind of like our physical muscles, you know, they require these building blocks to build, to actually become strong. And if they're non-existent, your physical muscles will deteriorate. And atrophy. I don't know if there's a word that, like, you say it and they become atro... Flabby. Layman's terms, flabby. But listen, if they don't have the building blocks, if they're not there, if they're not existent, they become non-existent. Your muscles do. The building blocks, of course, are muscle building, are, you know, proteins and creatines, and amino acids. All those things build up our muscles to give us strength, so that we can perform, we can do functions, we can be functionable. Hello? Right. This is just normal stuff. So this is, the meaty verses are right here. These are meaty verses, and they're three small verses. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice always. That's a hunk, a chunk of meat. Because why? It's because it's not just this thing that we say, oh, this is a nice thing to do. Rejoice always requires a decision, a choice on my part to take joy in everything. The all things. Rejoice always. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Listen. I'm gonna, you know, always say, oh, it's easy to rejoice when things are good. You know what? I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to say rejoicing when things are good is just as challenging as rejoicing when things are bad and ugly. Why is that? Because we have to choose to give God the glory and honor and take joy in what God is doing in us and through us instead of yourself. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So don't overstep the good. Don't say, oh, that's easy. But and then we take joy in the bad. What? In the ugly. Who? Rejoicing always. It's a choice. Taking joy in everything is this. I'm going to tell you this. There's a popular phrase. It's not faking it until you make it. It's not that. It's looking to God, who is sovereign and the author and the finisher of my faith. To take joy in everything, I have to look at him. I have to look to him. He's the author and the finisher of my faith. If I look at my environment, my circumstances, my governments, my friends, my family life, the things in my life that are issues. Anybody here got issues? If you look at it, if you just focus on it, do you find joy in it? Where do we find the joy? Looking to him. Right? Am I off in this? I don't think so. I think this is right. So this is rejoice always. It's a meat. It's a building block of your spiritual muscle. Dunda. Yeah. Man, you can have the trains, you guys. I'm going to take the thunder. Thunderstruck, baby. Hey, that's a good song, actually. Dang. Amen. Let's go on. Pray without ceasing, verse 17. This is another meat verse. It's meaty. Because rejoice always. You know, in the Greek, it says always. It does. In the Greek, it says without ceasing. It says the same thing. It's not a suggestion. It's not like most of the time when things are all right. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Again, it's a command that must be, I believe it's a command that God gives us because he knows us, that must be developed. It must be developed kind of as a knee-jerk reaction. You guys know what a knee-jerk reaction is, right? When you get your reflexes tested, they pop your knee and boom, and you know, it's called a knee-jerk reaction. It's the first thing that we ought to do. It's the thing that we must do and we must continue. We must develop that, right? That's why he tells us to pray about everything. Trust God in everything. Pray without ceasing. Don't worry about anything, but instead pray about everything. This is a command that's meat. It's going to give strength to your spiritual muscle of faith. Listen, praying all the time is praying first, praying in the midst of it, and praying until it's done. That means all the time, right? Because as soon as, I don't know about you guys, but as soon as you get through one issue, what's right around the corner?
Two more.
Oh, two, three. There's always, isn't there always something to be praying about, praying for? And so this praying without ceasing is yes, it's bringing it all to God, casting it all on him because he cares for you. But it's also taking in what God wants to do in your life. And I wanted to speak on it, and I will not, but not. But whenever you go on a fast for more than 3 days, I always find myself, whenever I do, I go into it wanting, seeking something that I'm looking for God as an answer. I'm looking for God to give me, speak to me, do something in me. And God always speaks to me so differently than what I went in it for, because God... Because here's what fasting does. Fasting is not so that God can hear you better. I don't think God has a problem hearing you. Do you think God has a problem hearing you?
No.
Where's the problem lie? Us hearing him. So when we fast, it's removing the obstacles in our life. Fast means not eating. That's really what it means. Going without food. It's denying yourself of gosh. I like food a lot though, God. I'm having a moment here, guys. Sorry. I know. But when we remove that, it allows us to hear him, because we're actually in this place of tuning in. We're in tune with who God and what God is saying. And it's always a little bit different than what you think you need to hear from God. Every single time. It's almost like without fail, I like, okay, God, I'm going in with this. But I know you're going to tell me something else. But that's all right. But I still am going into it. I still dive into it this way. And he still says, okay, but son, here's what you need to hear. Here's what you need to hear. I'm like, oh, okay. Praying without ceasing. It's a meaty command. Verse 18, this is where I'm gonna spend just probably a little extra time on. He says this in verse 18 of chapter 5, verse Thessalonians. Give thanks. How does he say it? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. You realize that thankfulness actually takes the sting out of what the enemy means to destroy. Listen, when we give thanks in everything, it takes the sting out of what the enemy might mean to destroy in your life. And it actually becomes God's grace, which is sufficient to make the strong weak. That was a really neat statement that the Lord gave me this morning. I need to restate it because I liked it. I had to write it down. Thankfulness actually takes the sting out of what the enemy means to destroy and becomes God's grace, which is sufficient to make the strong weak. Do you hear what I just said? It actually, if grumbling and complaining kind of obliterates what God wants for you in peace and joy and happiness, then thankfulness is the exact opposite. It obliterates what the enemy wants for you, which is death, destruction, illness, sickness, despair, hopelessness. And when you choose to be thankful, you obliterate the enemy's attack on your life. Hello? You can't do them both at the same time. You can't complain and be thankful at the same time. So this is awesome. And actually, with Romans 8:28, one of the most popular quoted verses of the Bible, right? And I say that, yeah, it is. You guys know what it is? Oh, there it is. Hey, look at that. And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. You realize that's really what he's saying in there? What is he really saying in there? Can I say something for you guys? I'm like warm up here. Where was I going to go? I was going to go with something with this. This is really good. Do you realize that verse ought to only be for those that are mature? That is a dangerous verse for the immature. Why do I say that? Why do I say that? Because that's a dangerous verse, because all of a sudden the good becomes the good for me and what I think good is for me. If I'm not mature enough to handle that and properly and rightly discern what that's saying, then I will say that all things work for the good. In other words, I eventually get what I want. Hello? I've heard people quote it that way, as though eventually you're going to get what you want. Oh, just keep doing what you're doing. Eventually, God will give you what you want. All things are going to work out for good. Just keep on going. That good becomes good that you think is good for you, as opposed to what God knows is good for you and is right for you and is just for you and is exactly what you need. It's also thankfulness is this. Listen to this in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. This is another place he says this. He says, and I think this is in the Living Bible translation, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. You realize that thankfulness and thanksgiving and being thankful and saying thanks and having an attitude of gratitude, if you will, is seeing and being thankful is that which kind of fine tunes. Remember those old radios? Where'd George go? You go off. You know the. You remember the old radios that you, and I don't know if this dates me or not. I just remember having one somewhere. I do remember one of the Christmases, one of the things I wanted more than anything, and I think it was like 7 or 8, was a transistor radio. That was the coolest thing on the planet, a little box that I could tune in and get radio stations with. Oh, boy. Where you fine-tune the dial to actually get clarity of what the station is actually tuned into. Thankfulness is that fine-tuned dial so that you get clarity into what God's will is for you. Not only clarity, but you also get, it gives you the steadfastness, the perseverance. Because when we choose to be thankful, we can continue to choose to be in prayer and pray about everything, not cease, where we don't stop praying. Because we're thankful, we're seeing it, and then we become rejoicing. In other words, we're seeing God with this awesome ability to intervene in not just my life, but the circumstances of my life and people's lives and what God is doing in people's lives. Hello? No, I'm really, let's chew on that for just a moment. You choosing to be thankful empowers and directs your prayers for others and even yourself. And it also empowers the faith in you that God has for you, that God is developing in you. And it also causes you to be an encouragement in other people's lives, as opposed to a tool of the enemy that grumbles and complains about what they are or are not doing. Whew! Yeah, amen. And that's a super convicting thing on me and on my end. And I, believe me, can I just confess? You guys are really easy to complain about. You guys got some issues, man. I think you know what I'm talking about. You know some of you, don't you? Hey, and I know that I am too. But when I do that, aren't I aligning and empowering the inferior dark kingdom in your life too, and also in mine? Amen? Some of us simply need to choose to be thankful because we didn't realize the imperative of it, like how valuable and vital it is to our Christian growth, my life as a disciple. Some of us really need to just simply repent of our complaining, grumbling. I call it the grumbling grumpies. Just repent. Give thanks in everything is a command that's not burdensome. When we really believe that it's God's will for us in Christ Jesus. Now, how many of you know that there's a vast difference? They're diametrically opposed. There's a difference between childishness and childlikeness. They're polar opposites. I need to just clarify this for a moment. It's like this. Because being thankful that you get what you want is childish. Listen, but it's great for children to be taught to be thankful that they get what they ask for, correct? We want our children to say please and thank you. It's kind, it's respectful. It's what we teach them, correct? Right? But we must eventually grow up to where, as an adult, we just don't keep on wanting what we ask for. Well, if I just say thank you, then I ought to get what I want. It keeps us in a place of childishness. Childlikeness is polar opposite of that. It is a trust in God that truly makes you and I thankful that He is God and I am not. Childlikeness is what Jesus encourages us to be, like a child. Faith like a child. Trust like a child. That He is our Father and we are His children. Childishness as an adult is kind of repulsive, right? You guys seen adults that act childish, right? It's kind of icky. When we see children that act like children, it's beautiful, it's cute, it's pretty. It's how they should act, right? When we see adults that act like children, it's not so pretty. If you really want to see and get into the depths of this and get some meat about it, and I know that if you guys want to, you could pay attention. Where's Micah at? Where'd he go? Hey, Micah. He might like this one. If you really want to, read Dante's Divine Comedy. It's a poem that Dante wrote in the 1300s, and it's about this very principle, about this very thing, and I love it. And when my son, my oldest son, Blake, went off to college, he went into Torrey, and he started reading all these things that I'd never even heard of, and it really encouraged me and spurred me to read some stuff that I'd never even heard of. And when I read that, I was like, wow, this is really, really awesome. And it's deep. You bring these books home and these things, and I'm like, wow, this is awesome. If you dare, read it. It's awesome. And it's about this very aspect of what a man went into the world thinking that he was the center of the universe, realizing that as he got closer to that which was heaven, as he got closer to that which was God in his life, he realized that more and more, the closer he got to God, that actually he realized that he was far from the center and that God is the center. God is the center of all, and that he was just this part in it. The closer he got, the more he realized that he was less than what he thought he was. It's really awesome. Just read it if you dare. Paul says it this way. He said, when I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. See, God is calling us to be thankful in all things. Not just the things that we are getting and the things that we want and the things that make us happy, but be thankful in all things. For it's God's will for us in Christ Jesus. And when we have that, when we develop that, how do you get that? How do you actually get that? Wouldn't it be so neat? Wouldn't it be really cool if your pastor up here had about five or six little vials of pixie dust that I could just, when I saw you that you were like dealing with an issue in your life, you know, that you had pride in your life, and I just sprinkled you with some humble dust and you became humble. Wouldn't that be so cool? How about if I saw that you were this grumbling grumbler and I just sprinkled you with some thankful dust? Wow, wouldn't that be neat? Come on, I really want some. Why does it not exist? Because it doesn't exist. It's because it's a part, it's our part to choose. It's our part to repent. It's our part to align ourselves, to say, thank you, Jesus, in this. When my car breaks down and I don't have the means to fix it, thank you, Jesus, right? When the bills come and there just isn't the funds to take care of it, thank you, Jesus. When somehow, amazingly, there's a check in the mail that's way more than I ever anticipated, expected, didn't even know it was coming. I say, yes, I did it. No, what do you say? Thank you, Jesus. Right? It's being thankful in all things. And it's God's command for us to grow up, to love him, to love others, and really actually find true happiness. It's a secret code that's not so secret anymore, right? Praise the Lord. Rejoice always. Don't be afraid. And be thankful. Be thankful. I love it. I love it. Let's not just, it's not just a day that we gather together and eat. And yes, it's so awesome that we do that. We need to do that. I love it that we do that. And we take time off. We shut down stores. We do stuff that was intended to make that we come to this grip that, yes, I'm thankful for those people in my life. But it's really something that God is commanding us to do all the time. In all things, thank God. In all things, thank God. Amen? Amen. I don't know who turned the heater on, but let's pray. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you are God and that we are not, and that you sent your son Jesus to die in our place so that we can have life. And in that act of obedience that you, Jesus, an act of obedience in love, you won us. You are victorious. And we align ourselves with you. And we say thank you, Jesus, in all things. And we rejoice always. And by your Spirit, we ask that you empower us by your grace to be who you've called us to be. That we come in here a little bit different. We come in here with stuff that we're dealing with, but we leave empowered by your grace to be difference makers. In Jesus' name, we give you glory, honor, and praise. Amen.